Genesis chapter 4 this evening. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, we read these verses last week. We'll read them quickly tonight to get our minds back there. Verse 1 says, of chapter 4, says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And it's amazing, the first murder, the first fight, the first offering that we really see as far as from man caused the fight. Isn't that amazing? It all has to begin to do with man trying to do what they think God wants. And I hope again, I mentioned it before, I'll say it again now. I've got it on a little card on my desk that somebody gave me. It says, basically, wouldn't it be a shame to work all your life trying to make God an apple pie just to die and meet God and realize he don't like apple pie? That's how a lot of people live their life. They try to do the works of their hands, what they feel, what they think would please God. And so that's where all this boils out of. So verse number 6 says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. And from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, again for your blessings. I pray, Lord, once again, Lord, that you'd open our minds. I thank you, Lord, for this time that we can study the Word of God together. I pray, Lord, that we would not waste time, Lord, but, God, we'd use this. I pray, God, it would spur us tonight, God, to dig deeper. Lord, I know, God, I need it. I know others need it. But, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll just meet with us tonight. I do pray for our children tonight, our young folk. God, that you'd bless there. I appreciate all those that work there. I pray, Lord, you'll bless there in a special way. God, I know everybody in here's got needs. I know physical needs and spiritual needs. But I pray tonight, Lord, for the next little bit, God, Lord, would you just help us to concentrate not on this earth, not on the things around about us, but God, help us to think on things above. Lord, we'll thank you. We're going to praise you, Lord, for what you do, Lord. For us in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Last week, when we read here, we looked at several little things to begin with, and we won't go back over those, just things that that jump out of those first 15 verses. We spent the majority of the time looking at a comparison of Abel and the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we want to do another comparison because there's another brother. We want to look at Cain for just a little bit tonight and some things that we can learn here about Cain. And there's a great comparison. I was looking today, I got to thinking about some things in Hebrews. And boy, it's good just to go through a book. And through Hebrews, you can see that mercy and grace and the law. You can just see all those things bouncing back and forth. And again, these things are written that we can learn, that we can grow closer to the Lord, of course. But we're going to look tonight at several things tonight. I think there's about 15 of them. We're not spending a lot of time on each one of them. But just some things tonight that we can see here as we see what took place with Cain. And again, people, you know, I don't know how you look at things, but listening to people, talking to people, a lot of times they look at this like it's a running book of, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next. When God started this thing, he already knew how it was going to end. I think it was Brother Young said it when I was in Bible college. He said, God sees everything like a piece of paper. He sees the beginning, the middle, and the end all at one time. And, you know, God's not trying to figure out what we're going to do next. God already knows what's going to take place next. So, you know, as we see what took place here with Cain and Abel, that didn't take God by surprise. And we can see a lot of things that in Cain that also we're going to relate tonight to the nation of Israel. Many, many things. It's amazing when you let the Bible just search in the scriptures, you'll see these things. And so we're going to see Cain and the nation of Israel tonight. The first thing that we see here about Cain, what was Cain? It tells us over here that Cain was a tiller of the ground. As much as we know that we looked at last week, that Abel was that shepherd, Cain is a picture of that farmer, of one that works the soil. He's connected to the ground. And then if you go over to Genesis chapter 13, we won't take time to read there this evening, but if you go back over to Genesis chapter 13, when you see God bringing Abram out of his family, that place, and head him into that what? He promised what? A land. He promised a promised land. And the nation of Israel has always been connected to the ground. They've always been, I mean, you look at that kingdom, when the kingdom's going to be set back upon this earth, that has to do with a place, that same parcel of ground, that same place there. So, again, Cain was connected to the ground. The nation of Israel is a earthly entity as far as God has connected them to that place there in Palestine. Second thing we see here tonight about Cain, Cain found out that God had a certain offering, and we looked at that last week, of course. Abel offered what? A lamb. Cain offered what? Something of his own hands out of his garden, what he grew. The Bible tells us over in John chapter 1, verse number 11, it says Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. They rejected, the nation of Israel rejected that offering. So again, and you think about Israel, and this is one of the things that, you know, most of you know me very well, what I say about religion. When you think about, you know, religious people, I don't think you could think of anybody that is more religious than the nation of Israel. You look at the nation of Israel, all the sacrifices, all the obedience to the law, all those things, they tried to be religious. But they all, just like that rich young ruler, one thing thou lackest. And that's where the nation of Israel was. They had all the religion. They had all the feasts. They had all the sacrifices. They had all those things. But they missed the main part, and that's that lamb. They missed that truth about that one sacrifice. So we see Cain was connected to the ground. We see Israel was connected to the ground. We see Cain found out that God would only accept one offering. And listen, again, it amazes me. I can't speak but for a little spot of time. I've read, I've studied history and different things. It's through college and different things, but, and I'm not an expert by no means. But it amazes me in the period of time that we are right now, even in the Baptist realm of people, what people think God will accept. We have frustrated the gospel. We have put man's ideas in, well, God's a God of love. I've heard that. God, sure he is. But he's also a judge. He loved you so much to give you a way out, but if you choose not to choose that way, you're in trouble. You're on your own. But people today have self-justified, I guess would be the way, self-righteousness, if you want to call it that. They try to look at it from the perspective of man. And listen, we have to be very careful. We, not to let our minds and our hearts direct us. We need the Spirit of God, because it's easy to look at somebody else and say, well, this is what you ought to do. But when it's in your house, you might not say that. When it's your child or your family, you might not think the same way you do towards somebody else's. That's the reason the truth's all we've got, and that's where we have to draw the lines with, is the Word of God. So we see Cain found out that God wouldn't accept but one offering. And then what was Cain's offering? Cain offered the product of his own labor. He was a tiller of the ground. a farmer has to work. You throw that seed out, yeah, that's part of it, but that ground has to be tilled. That ground has to be taken care of. That plant has to be nurtured. That plant, everything about that plant has to do with work. Now, Abel was a shepherd. And I don't mean to be, I don't get off key about it, but you put a bull and a heifer in the same pasture, the farmer ain't got to do nothing else. Give it a few months and you're going to have a calf. What do you mean, preacher? Abel offered not of his own hands because he had nothing to do with it. It was a blessing from God. It was what God produced out of that sheep. But Cain was an actual laboring to make what he had to grow and to prosper. So, and again, it all connects back to that land. So Cain offered the product of his own labor. And again, look with me over in the book of Romans. What has the nation of Israel done and is doing? Romans chapter 9, look with me in verse 32. Romans 9:32 says this, is wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. And as is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. They tried to work things out through the law. And no man's going to get to God through the law. No man can keep the law. There's only one person who's ever kept the law, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But the nation of Israel, just like religion does today, there's Baptist churches, independent Baptist churches, that try to make people feel like they've got to do something to please God. And we're going to see here in just a little bit, there's only one thing that God desires. And I'll go ahead and spill the beans. He wants your heart. If you serve God because the preacher makes you serve God, you're not blessed by God. You're not really serving God. You're serving the preacher. And again, you ought to serve, but you ought to serve out of a heart towards the Lord. So again, they missed out because the workings of the law. They would not believe simply in that one, that Lord Jesus Christ, that Lamb. And again, the same problem today. You talk to people about being saved. Well, hey, buddy, you know, you ever thought about being saved? Well, I've been baptized. Well, I'm a good person. Well, I pay my bills. Well, I'm good to my family. And all those things are great and wonderful. But when you put you in the equation, you're taking God out of the equation. It's not God plus, it's just God. And that's where the nation of Israel, and that's where Cain was. Cain brought up something that he put his own laboring into. He produced it. He nurtured it. He thought it was what he wanted to give to God. And so, and again, so he found out the rejection. Cain's offering was rejected by God. Look at Acts chapter 13. We'll see also where the nation of Israel has been rejected there through their offering. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, look in verse 38. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are justified from all things that which could not be justified by the law of Moses." Again, there's only one thing that justifies a man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, his offer. Look with me in Psalms 51. This is one of those verses that'd be good to mark, memorize, put it in your heart. Hang it on your mirror. This is what I was mentioning a minute ago, Psalms 51, verse 17. Well, look at verse 16. Psalms 51, 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. You come to God with a broken heart. You come to God with a love for God. You bring it to God in that mindset and attitude. And listen, you can't build that one up. God knows. But that's what God desires. It's not about how big or how small. It's not about how great or how unknown. It's all about your attitude towards God when you do something. So Cain's offering was rejected. Let's look back at Genesis chapter 4. And then we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 9. What was the results of that rejection? Of course, we know that, and we'll see what we see is a great part of that results of that rejection. But it's really what we really center on is really just what's the right word? It's just the prolonging of what really took place. The main problem, it's the same thing with us tonight, as we looked last Sunday morning, I guess it was, about the fact of being lost and being out of place. Cain, what his problem was, is he lost something. He was out of place. And when you look here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7 says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain lost something. He lost that relationship. He lost that. He was the firstborn. And with that firstborn come a right. But he forfeited that. He lost that because he did not follow after God. And the same thing with us. We lose that position. Thank God as we look Sunday night as that prodigal son. I'm glad tonight I don't ever lose that sonship. Amen. But I can lose my relationship with God. I can lose that joy that I should be experiencing. And that's where Cain was. Because he didn't mind the Lord, he lost that. And because of that, the others are the results of that. That's the key of it. And that's us too tonight. When we step away from God, when we get out of line with where God wants us to be, all these other things are just results of that one thing. We many times, again, we as they taught us when we was doing our first responder classes, a lot of times when you drive up on a wreck or whatever, just because you see a blot of blood doesn't mean that's where the problem is. There might be underlying things. And again, a lot of times we run to what we think, oh God, here's my problem. Well, that's probably not your real problem. That's just some on down the line results of what the main problem is. So, and that's where we see here with Cain. Look with me over in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. The same thing with the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was a chosen and are. I mean, they're God's chosen. But they disobeyed God. And because of that, they lose that relationship. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13 says, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. God says, I'm not going to put you below, I'm going to put you ahead. You're my child. This is your place. But when we don't follow the Lord, we lose that relationship. We lose that place. Look with Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. Again, when you don't follow the Lord, when I don't follow the Lord, just as Cain, just as the nation of Israel, they were supposed to be here, but because they did not obey God, because they forfeited that, they were not that head position anymore. And again, I know, when it comes to the body of Christ, when it comes to the church, there's no big I's and little U's. We all, you know, again, I know the Bible talks about, you know, your little toe basically ain't no different than your thumb. I know that's not how the scriptures read, but basically all the body of Christ is the same. But in our everyday life, we do lose a lot of the rewards that God has for us just simply because we don't obey God. And that's the same place as the nation of Israel. I know it rains on the just and the unjust. A lot of times the things that we think God's punishing for, really God's just trying to help you. But again, we still are capable of losing that place of God's blessings and the rewards that God would have for us. Sixth of all, this season, Cain was driven by envy to kill his brother. And we looked last week, we won't go back and look at that again, but again, the nation of Israel envied what you look at those religious leaders and all that religious matter at that time, they envied Christ, and so they crucified him. And over there in Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 2, and God told Cain, you're guilty. You're guilty because of what you've done. And the nation of Israel, he said the same thing. You're guilty. And they are guilty. And if you remember back to our Revelation studies, that's part of that tribulation period, is to get Israel back to that place. So Cain was driven by envy to kill his brother. Seventh of all, this season, Cain had bloody hands. Cain shed blood. The blood of his son or his brother Abel was on his hands. And over there, we looked at it last week. We'll just hit it again and move on. But Matthew chapter 27, verses 24 and 25 talks about Israel, how they have bloody hands. Again, and we can't, I'm not just leaving us out of the picture. He died for the sins of the world. But again, Matthew chapter 27, it talks about Israel, how their part played into that. Cain was cursed. God put a curse on Cain. God put a curse on the nation of Israel. Look over in Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah chapter 24. Verse number 9 says, I will deliver them to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth for their hurt, to be a reproach and a proverb, a taunt and a curse in all places whither I shall drive them. And God's still doing that today. It's going to keep doing that, and it's going to escalate greatly during the tribulation period until he sets up that kingdom again. So Cain was cursed, the nation of Israel was cursed. After Cain was cursed, as we saw back in Genesis chapter 4, God tells him he's going to till that, as he tills that ground, that ground's not going to produce. He's going to have troubles with that. When you look at the nation of Israel, let me say this. I think it's Genesis chapter 14, I think. Where did Cain end up at? Cain went from a farmer to a what? Built a city. Big difference, isn't there? So Cain was cursed. The ground became barren. If you go back and look over in Leviticus chapter 26, it talks to the nation of Israel how that land, because of their disobedience, because they're not obeying God, he cursed that land. That land didn't produce. You follow all the way back over into the King Solomon. You look at King Solomon's day by the time. Let's back up. You look to Abraham, and you see what God promised the nation of Israel in that land. What did he call that land? A land flowing with what? Milk and honey. You remember when the spies went over there and spied out the land? They came back and says, whoa, you ain't going to believe that. Man, they got grapes this big. They got this. That was a land that was producing unbelievable amount of things. And by the time the nation of Israel had moved in and God had cursed them because they wouldn't follow out the Lord, by the time King Solomon shows up, they're having to borrow to get food. They're having to import food because the land quit producing. Why? All about that curse. God cursed Cain. God cursed the nation of Israel, and that land became barren. Back to Genesis 4, we don't have to turn there real quickly, but Cain became a vagabond. God says, you'll be a vagabond. Cain says, I'll be a vagabond. That vagabond, that word vagabond, and let me say this. Don't just take an idea in your mind. You know, when you read your Bible, find out what words mean. People read across that word vagabond and they have a sense, but what does that word mean? And it really plays part when you think about what we're looking at tonight. God says, you know, you'll be a vagabond. That word vagabond means a wanderer, have no home. And if you go back over to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 6, 5, 6, Israel has no rest. Well, they got a nation now, but they're scattered all over the world. And they're a vagabond. They're still just wandering. They're still, and when that's going to cease will be when Christ comes back and sets that kingdom back up. That's when he'll draw all that back together. Cain also, after he was cursed and after God shows that he's guilty, tells him he's guilty, Cain tells God, God is too big. I can't handle this. We'll turn there. Look at Zechariah. Find Malachi and back up one. Zechariah chapter 12. Just as Cain says it's too much, the nation of Israel is going to cry out that same thing during that tribulation period. It's going to be bigger than what they are. But again, just as we saw, remember we looked at the curse to man and the curse to woman? God said it was for their good. Well, the same thing with the nation of Israel. God's going to do all this thing for a single purpose. That's to drive them back to God. And so here in Zechariah chapter 12, verse number 10, the Bible says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him and as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Verse 11 says, in that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem and in the mourning of Hadarmaim in the valley of Megiddon, and the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart from their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart and the wives apart, and so on and so on. They're going to get to the place, they're going to be beat down. They're going to have that it's more than they can bear. Same thing with Cain. Cain looked at God and says, God, this is, you know, I can't handle this, and nation of Israel will get to that same place. Number 12, this evening, God drove Cain out. He said, you know, he drove him out. What did God do to the nation of Israel? He drove them out. They couldn't stay in the land. And you follow the history of Israel, all that's taken place with the nation of Israel from the time that they killed Christ until now. They've always had that. They're always being in that same place. Cain tells God that he hides his face from him, that God's face will be hid from Cain. Same thing with the nation of Israel. Look at Hosea chapter 1. Hosea chapter 1, I'll read it to you. Hosea chapter 1, verse number 9 says, then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Cain says, God, you're going to hide your face from me. And the nation of Israel turned their back on God. And guess what? They didn't have the blessings. They didn't have the pleasure of God's shining upon them. 14th night, Cain made that statement, said, everyone would hate me. He says, wherever I go, they're going to know it's me and they're going to hate me. Again, look at the nation of Israel. Look at how the Jew has been hated throughout time. Still today. The Jew is just a hated people. And so, again, it follows that same thought of Cain. And then last of all, this evening, God made that statement to Cain, anybody that touches you, I'll punish them. And look over in Genesis chapter 12. So one thing about the nation of Israel that holds true even tonight. They're still God's people. And even though they are a vagabond in this world, Genesis chapter 12, verse number 3 says this, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." God told Cain, he says, if anybody touches you, I'll take care of it. Same thing with the nation of Israel. So these are just 15 things that we can look at this evening again, that just some comparisons. And again, the reason I do this is, again, I think it's just neat to see how the Word of God isn't just thrown out there. We can connect dots. But just to get you to see how, don't just study your New Testament. Take the whole counsel. Take the whole Bible. It's all for our good and for our understanding, if we'll take it. And again, the theme of the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind. So we looked at Abel. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at Cain and the nation of Israel. So just something to chew on. So, I think next week, I think we might spend a little bit of time on that sin part, life at the door. I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure about my direction for next week. It's just one of those things. It's one of those interesting verses. I think that a lot of people read across that and just don't stop long enough to look at it. But we'll see where the Lord leads. So, all right, let's stand together this evening.